the focus here is very much on Russian aggression in Ukraine. And we have to accept that there's a war on two fronts. There's the Iranian conflict and the continuing Ukrainian conflict. Today I'll be talking to allies about what more we can do. Of course there'll be discussions about defence spend, also defence capability. And today I'll be making clear to them that I'm giving permission for the UK to intercept shadow fleet, Russian shadow fleet ships. These are ships that are unlawfully breaching sanctions, usually with oil, and we'll be working with others on that project. On defence, obviously, I've already committed to increasing defence spend. We have commitments to go further, and we will keep those commitments.
This is my video update on this Thursday afternoon, March the 26th, coming to you from Nicosia, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with some breaking news. We have a couple of Trump Truth Social posts to get to. We also have some news on a possible ground invasion into Iran, and we also have some Project Ukraine news to discuss. So let's begin with the two Trump Truth Social posts. In one post, Trump is complaining about NATO, and in the second post, he's complaining about Iran and how Iran is not accepting his 15-point plan. So let's begin with the post on NATO. Trump says NATO nations have done absolutely nothing to help with the lunatic nation, now militarily decimated, of Iran. The USA needs nothing from NATO. But never forget this very important point in time, President Donald J. Trump. Why is never forget in quotes? I don't understand why he put never forget in quotes. The message is in all caps too, by the way, so that means Trump is very, very angry with NATO. Very angry with NATO. Because they've done nothing to help him out in this war. If he's so upset with NATO, if you're so angry with NATO, then just leave. Leave. Ditch NATO if you're so upset. That's simple. So his second post is complaining about Iran. The Iranian negotiators are very different and strange. They are begging us to make a deal, which they should be doing since they have been militarily obliterated with zero chance of a comeback. And yet they publicly state that they are only looking at our proposal. Wrong. They better get serious soon before it is too late, because once that happens, there is no turning back. And it won't be pretty, President DJT. Carolyn Levitt, she told the media that if Iran does not accept the 15-point peace plan, then Trump is going to unleash hell. I believe those are the words that Carolyn Levitt used. He will unleash hell. So they better accept the 15-point peace plan, which is really a capitulation. Trump is begging Iran to capitulate. Come on, Iran. Would you just surrender? I'm kind of in a bind here, Iran. Can't you see that I'm in a bind? I've got some problems, and it would be pretty cool if you just surrendered. Come on. Come on, Iran. Don't you see that we're winning? You've been obliterated. You have been obliterated. There's zero chance for a comeback. Sometimes I wonder, is Trump talking to the media? Is he talking to the American people? Who's he trying to convince when he goes on and on about how Iran has been completely defeated, zero chance to win, no navy, no army, no leadership, no nothing? Who's he trying to convince? Is he trying to convince the American people? Is he trying to convince MAGA? Is he trying to convince the media? Or is he trying to convince Iran? I'm starting to believe that Trump is trying to convince Iran. He's trying to sell Iran on a military defeat. Anyway, that is Trump's latest post, his two latest posts on Truth Social. We have the news that the Trump team is examining what oil as high as 200 a barrel would mean. So they're going through the possible scenario of oil hitting $200 a barrel. One would have thought that they would have gone over these scenarios before the war, before they decided to launch a war against Iran. They would have game planned oil at 50, oil at 75, at 100, at 150, at 200, at 500. You would think that Trump and the Treasury Department, Scott Bessent, his administration would have game planned all of this out. Every single possible scenario. Best case, middle case, worst case, impossible case, most possible case, all of it game planned out. Strait of Hormuz open, Strait of Hormuz closed, Strait of Hormuz partially closed, Strait of Hormuz partially opened. Everything would have been studied and game planned before they decided to launch this war. But it doesn't look like that. It looks like they are now starting to examine what oil at $200 would look like. And if they're starting to think about oil at $200, then that means that the Trump administration is believing, a part of the Trump administration believes that this conflict will continue, because for oil to go to 200, that would mean that Iran continues to fight. How is Iran going to continue to fight if their military has been completely obliterated? How is all of this working? I don't know. I'm thinking too much. I'm thinking too much. Just trust the plan, Alex. Trust the plan. So Axios is reporting that the Pentagon is preparing for a massive final blow of Iran war. Am I reading that title correctly? Pentagon prepares for massive final blow of Iran war. Yeah. Okay. So it's going to be the final blow, the death blow. That is what the Trump administration is preparing. The Pentagon. That's what the Pentagon, Pete Hegseth, is preparing. And this could be in the form of Karg Island, taking Karg Island. This could be in the form of taking some other islands. It could be in the form of an actual invasion into Iran, in the south of Iran, landing in the south and going there, invading from there. It could be taking some islands, as well as making a move on Yemen. I've read stuff like that as well. So we don't really know the details of what this final blow is going to be. But Axios, which has special access to the Trump White House, they are reporting that the big operation is being prepared by Pete Hegseth, by the Pentagon. And that takes us to the Washington Post, which is reporting that the Pentagon is considering diverting Ukraine military aid to the Middle East. A shift would highlight the growing trade-offs required for the U.S. to sustain its war with Iran as the conflict depletes the military's critical munitions. So the United States continues to provide weapons to Ukraine. That is what the Washington Post is saying. Is it giving those weapons, or is the United States selling those weapons to NATO, and then NATO does whatever it wants with those weapons? Which one is it? The NATO that Trump is very upset with. This is going to upset Zelensky. This is going to really, really upset Zelensky, diverting the U.S. weapons from Ukraine to the Middle East. Why would you need to divert all the weapons that you give to Ukraine to the war in Iran if Iran is obliterated? Doesn't make much sense. Ukraine will have enough diesel fuel until the end of March. Imports in April are questionable. And that's coming at the end of March. The end of March is 4 or 5 days away. Maybe Ursula can help. Maybe Mertz can figure it out. Trump was speaking to GOP members, party members, and he was talking about how no one wants to be the supreme leader. Trump has a problem. He just doesn't know who to negotiate with, who to speak with. And he was telling the GOP members in attendance that no one wants to take the job of supreme leader. The United States has removed Araghchi and the parliament speaker, Ghalibaf, from their hit list. So they have their hit list of leaders that they want to take out. And they've removed Araghchi and Ghalibaf because they would like to negotiate with them. And Trump was saying that all of these leaders are afraid to negotiate with the United States because they're afraid that they may get killed. They might get assassinated. And then Trump said that no one wants to become the supreme leader. Do you want to become the Ayatollah? I don't want to become the Ayatollah, Trump said. He was joking around, of course. The Trumpatollah. Maybe Trump is going to become the supreme leader. Trumpatollah. Trump wants to pick the supreme leader. That's what he wants. He wants to pick who is going to lead Iran. That would mean victory for the U.S. president. But Araghchi and the parliament speaker have been removed from their kill list. You see, they're really not that much different than Project Ukraine, huh? Just like the Ukraine Mirotvorets list. Trump has his own list. The United States has their own kill list. So now I guess the foreign minister and the parliament speaker are free to negotiate. And they're not going to negotiate with Witkoff and Kushner. The latest reports are that they're going to negotiate with Vance and Rubio. That's going to make them trust the negotiation process a whole lot more. At least you don't have to meet with Kushner and Witkoff. I think it's Kushner. When leaders would meet with Witkoff, they were okay. But it was when Kushner was introduced into the mix that when you would negotiate with those two together, then it was deadly. You were lucky to make it out of the negotiations alive. So in order to give some confidence to Iran, in order to try and get them to accept the 15-point peace plan, the negotiating team will most likely be Vance and Rubio, Witkoff and Kushner, sidelined. And that's the approach from the Trump administration. There is no plan. I'll tell you what the plan is. The plan is let's try to trick Iran into a 30-day ceasefire. Let's try to get them to start negotiating on the 15-point peace plan and trick them to a 30-day ceasefire. While at the same time, let's prepare for some sort of big military operation, and we'll see which one works. We'll see which one goes first. We'll see which one we go with. That's the plan. They've got these two tracks going on. Try to get the 30-day ceasefire based on the 15-point peace plan, and at the same time prepare for a ground invasion or a military operation, which will be the final blow to Iran. And we'll see which one works. That's where the Trump administration is at. That is exactly where they are at. So let's talk a little bit about Project Ukraine, and then we'll get back to Iran. And we have the news from Reuters that the Russians are once again pitching a deal to the U.S. president. And the deal is Ukraine for Iran. We're back here. Ukraine for Iran. If you stop helping Ukraine, according to Reuters, then Russia will stop helping Iran. And Zelensky, he's confirming this. He's saying this is exactly what's happening. It's a kind of blackmail that is going on. Ukraine intel for Iran intel. And then Zelensky said in an interview that the Trump administration is putting pressure on him to cede the Donbass in order to make a deal for the conflict in Ukraine. And it's not that simple. Istanbul Plus is a lot more than just the Ukraine military leaving Donbass. I don't even know if Istanbul Plus is on the table. It probably is, probably still is on the table. But that's what Zelensky said in his latest interview being reported on by Reuters. Reuters is also saying that the drone strikes into Russia, the strikes into St. Petersburg has knocked out 40% of Russia's oil export capacity, hitting all storage in one facility, or in two facilities. They hit two facilities. Hitting all storage in two facilities in St. Petersburg is not going to knock out 40% of your oil exports. Sorry, Reuters, your calculations are way off. I sense some Annalena Baerbock 360 math going on with Reuters. And that brings us to the UK. The UK and Russia. Keir Starmer has given the green light for UK forces to intercept Putin's shadow fleet. British PM Keir Starmer said Ukraine's allies need to be even more vigilant about policing sanctions against Russia. Shadow Fleet. What a cool name. What a freaking cool name, the Shadow Fleet. Ships that are not insured by Lloyd's of London. But it's a great name. It's so much better than ships not insured by Lloyd's of London. That would be boring. Keir Starmer gives the green light to seize ships that are not insured by Lloyd's. It's kind of boring. But to seize the Shadow Fleet with a skull and crossbones flag, that's cool. That is cool. I would definitely want to be part of the Shadow Fleet. If I had a tanker, I would want to join the Shadow Fleet. Yeah, absolutely. That just sounds badass. So the UK is going to start seizing Russian ships, or ships that are part of the Shadow Fleet. You could be part of the Shadow Fleet and not be Russian. There's a whole lot of ships right now in the Strait of Hormuz that are not insured, which are now part of the Shadow Fleet. A whole lot of tankers. You can start there, UK. You can send a ship into the Strait of Hormuz and start seizing all of those ships that are stuck there without insurance. There you go. We got you some ships. But no, they're going to seize ships that are passing through their waters and their seas. And this is a very, very provocative, risky move from the Prime Minister. Or maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. Maybe nothing would happen if the UK started to seize Shadow Fleet tankers. A strong warning from Russia. Maybe that's what the UK will get. A strongly worded statement from Russia. Stop doing it. Stop seizing ships that are carrying Russian oil. At a time when the world needs Russian oil, when the world desperately needs Russian oil, the UK is going to start seizing those ships. Great timing. No coincidence in all of this. So yeah, they're putting up the blockade of Russia. We'll see how Russia responds. We'll see if the UK even has the ability to do such things. But my sense is that if they seize Shadow Fleet ships, if they have a Russian flag, that'll be interesting to see what Russia does. If they're actually under a Russian flag, if they're not under a Russian flag, then Russia's not going to do anything. So you have the French; they've pretty much blockaded the Mediterranean for the Shadow Fleet, and the UK is going to block their area. effectively trying to box Russia in. Russia will give a strongly worded statement if it's a ship without a Russian flag. So Latvia, they are very angry about the drone crash, the Ukrainian drone crash. So the Ukrainian drone was on its way to hit St. Petersburg, to hit the oil facilities up there. And the analysis is that most likely the drones were flying over Eastern Europe and the Baltics, so they could avoid Russian air defense. And that's how they made it to St. Petersburg to hit their targets. And some of those drones were crashing in the Baltics, in Estonia, in Latvia, Lithuania, whatever. They were crashing. Some of them didn't make it all the way to St. Petersburg, but they were using the Baltic airspace as cover. And Latvia, they're upset about the drone crash, and they're blaming Russia. They're blaming Russia for the Ukrainian drone that crashed in its territory, that was on its way to attack St. Petersburg. And it's Russia's fault. It's Russia's fault. Okay, that should have been my clown world, but it's not. So we have reports that Israel hit Russian weapons supply line in the Caspian Sea, is what the Wall Street Journal is reporting. Weapons meant for Iran? Possibly. Possibly not. Not sure. Even if this story is accurate, but according to the WSJ, Israel is now operating in the Caspian, perhaps teaming up with Azerbaijan. Very good friends, Israel and Azerbaijan. Maybe Turkey's helping out. Don't know, but they're hitting, allegedly they're hitting Russian weapons supplies that are moving through the Caspian Sea. Financial Times is reporting that Russia is preparing to send drones to Iran. They're going to send food and supplies as well as drones to Iran so that Iran can continue to fight. Let's see what the Financial Times is saying. Russia sending drones to Iran. Western intelligence says Moscow close to completing phased deliveries of lethal weapons, food, and medicine to Tehran. So Keith Kellogg is back. He is back, Keith Kellogg. And he was on Fox News. He talked about what a hard ass Zelensky is. His words, not mine. He said Zelensky is a hard ass. He is not like Trump. He is a lot like Trump. Sorry, I misread it. Zelensky is a hard ass. He is a lot like Trump. My bad, Mr. Kellogg. What they've done in the last 4+ years is astounding. They've basically taken and stopped the Russian war machine dead cold. It's over time. Putin has to realize he can't win this war. Keith Kellogg is using the same strategy that Trump is using on Iran. Keith Kellogg is trying to convince Russia that they cannot win this war. You can't win. Just give up. You've lost. Give up. Give it up. You've lost. You can't win. And Trump is using the same strategy with Iran. You've been obliterated. You can't win. You have zero chance of winning. Zero chance of a comeback. Just give up. Sign the 15-point peace plan. Keith Kellogg, once upon a time, was saying sign the 20-point peace plan, right? So that's what Keith Kellogg said about Zelensky. And then he talked about Karg Island. And he's all for an invasion of Karg Island, or at least an invasion to take and hold territory in Iran, which would force the opening of the Strait of Hormuz and eventually force the Iranians to accept terms and to capitulate. The mastermind, the military mastermind of Keith Kellogg, everybody, the military brilliance of Kellogg, the man who came up with the freeze plan. We're going to freeze everything in the Donbass at the line of contact. That's the plan. The brilliance, the geopolitical military brilliance of Kellogg. Kellogg and his freeze plan. Now we have Kellogg and his Hormuz by force plan. The U.S. could open the Strait of Hormuz by force, said Keith Kellogg. Let's talk about Trump's daily briefings. This is an NBC News story. They are reporting that Trump is receiving his war briefings in 2-minute short videos, video montage. That is how Trump is being briefed on the war with Iran. And the videos are showing the U.S. military blowing up a lot of stuff and completely dominating the war. A lot of explosions, a lot of destruction. And this is shaping Trump's policy and his view of how the war is going. NBC News is reporting that people in the White House do not want to give an accurate picture of the war to Trump, because if you upset Trump, then you lose favor with Trump. So they try to give Trump the videos that he wants to see that will reinforce his belief that the United States has completely obliterated and defeated Iran. And so that's what Trump is getting, and he's getting it in these video montages. Montage. Let's see, inside Trump's daily video montage briefing on the Iran war. The montage, which typically runs for about 2 minutes, has raised concerns among some of the president's allies that he may not be receiving the complete picture of the war. Yeah, they're trying to give Trump an excuse. Is that what they're trying to do? Is that what Trump is going to say? I wasn't getting accurate pictures. I was getting these video montages, and they were showing 2 minutes of us winning. That's what they were showing. 2 minutes of us winning. How was I going to know that the Strait of Hormuz was closed? The video that I saw showed the Strait of Hormuz open. What does it say about the military, the Pentagon, if this story is true? What does it say about the military officials and the Pentagon, Pete Hegseth, that they're creating these 2-minute videos showing Trump an inaccurate picture of what is happening in the war? The official noted that Trump's briefings tend to draw better feedback from his aides when they focus on U.S. victories. There you go. The Wall Street Journal is also reporting that Trump is looking to exit the war in 4 to 6 weeks, or his timeline is 4 to 6 weeks, and he's in a hurry to get out of this thing. That is what the WSJ is saying. And he wants to exit this war so that he can make the meeting with Xi Jinping in China. So he's looking at 6 weeks, which would mean in the middle of April. If you believe this report, Trump is looking to wind this war down. And then the meeting with Xi Jinping is scheduled for May. It's been rescheduled to take place in May, because Trump wants to go to China and he wants leverage over China. And so his leverage is, I've got Venezuela and I've got Iran. I control the Venezuelan oil. I control the Strait of Hormuz. So let's make a deal. I have leverage over you now. So that's basically what they're getting at. While at the same time, the Pentagon, according to Axios, is preparing for the big battle, the big final blow. And you have the 15-point peace plan. So you have all of these things going on, and no one knows what the hell is going on. Right? The Trump White House keeps saying that they're ahead of schedule. They know what their objectives are. They know what their goals are and they're way ahead of schedule, but no one knows what their objectives or what their goals are or what the schedule is. I don't even think a reporter has asked. Has a reporter asked the Trump administration, what exactly are the goals? What exactly is the schedule? Can you tell us all, tell the American people, tell the world what this schedule is? Is it 4 to 6 weeks? Is it until September? Is it 100 days? Was it a weekend regime change? Is it different on the weekdays because the markets are opened, but on the weekends it's something else when the markets are closed? No, Trump doesn't define the goals, the objectives, the schedule. They don't define all of this stuff on purpose. So then they could come out and say, we're ahead of schedule. No one knows what the schedule is, but we're ahead of it. Well, what is the schedule? Don't worry about the schedule. I'm just telling you we're ahead of it. We're winning. Well, what is winning? Don't worry about it. I'm telling you we're winning. We're winning, okay? Yeah, but what are the objectives? What is the goal? How are you defining winning? Don't worry about that. Just trust us. We're winning. Iran is obliterated. But we have to divert weapons from Ukraine to Iran because they're so obliterated. There are reports which claim that that China has already started to stop rare earths to the United States. Yeah. If this is confirmed, if this is indeed true, then that would be big. So the House had a meeting, had a briefing on the war, and some House members left that briefing shocked at what they heard from the Trump administration. No goals, no plan, no idea what is going on. That was basically the reaction that you got from members of the House, including Republicans, including MAGA Trump supporters, like Nancy Mace. Nancy Mace posted on X, just walked out of a House Armed Services briefing on Iran. Let me repeat, I will not support troops on the ground in Iran, even more so after this briefing. Washington's war machine is hard at work. They are trying to drag us into Iran to make it another Iraq. We can't let them. So they must have been told about a ground operation, obviously, if you read what Nancy Mace is posting here on X. But it seems as if this plan for a ground operation is not convincing them, is not convincing the members of the House that this will be a successful operation. Netanyahu, he is telling Israeli media that he expects a ceasefire announcement from Trump this Saturday. Ryan Grimm says, translation, ground invasion coming this weekend. Yeah, if Netanyahu is saying that Trump is going to announce some sort of a ceasefire, then most likely what you're going to get is some trickery. The invasion, maybe this weekend, maybe next weekend. Maybe we are going to get a ceasefire. Strategic ambiguity is what Macron calls it. The Speaker of the Parliament for Iran, Mr. Ghalibaf, he posted on X that Iran is ready for an invasion. He also says that a country in the region is going to be helping the United States with its invasion. Based on some data, Iran's enemies, with the support of one of the regional countries, are preparing to occupy one of the Iranian islands. All enemy movements are under the full surveillance of our armed forces. If they step out of line, all the vital infrastructure of that regional country will, without restriction, become the target of relentless attacks. Could we be talking about Saudi Arabia? UAE? I would say Saudi Arabia. That would be my guess. If there is indeed a country in the region that is working with the United States and Israel for this ground invasion. And you know what that means. If something like that does unfold, then Yemen, the Houthis, are going to enter the war. If Saudi enters the war, the Houthis enter the war. And if the Houthis enter the war, then we could be looking at the closure of the Al-Mandab Strait. And if that was to be closed, then we're looking at a real catastrophe in the energy markets. 12% of the global seaborne oil passes through the Bab al-Mandab. The Bab al-Mandab Strait is the world's fourth largest shipping choke point. If both Hormuz and Madab are closed, total offline capacity could near 25 million barrels per day or 25% of global supply. If this scenario plays out, if is a big if, we get the ground invasion to try and take an island, the United States, another regional player, if it is Saudi Arabia, then the war widens out to incorporate Yemen and the Houthis. And then we're looking at two choke points, which could be blocked off. 25% of the global supply. And that is why we are starting to see energy lockdowns. Talked about this 3-4 days ago. Get ready for energy lockdowns. That is what we are starting to see. Pakistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, New Zealand, Vietnam, Philippines, Slovenia, Egypt, Kenya, South Africa, fuel rationing, travel limits, reduced work weeks, all framed as temporary, all justified by the crisis. Let us know in the comments down below, people that are watching this video and living in these countries that I just listed. Are we seeing fuel rationing? Are we seeing reduced work weeks, travel limits? Are these things actually happening in your country? It would be interesting to hear from people living in these countries what is going on the ground. We have news that things in Australia, people in Australia, let the world know what is going on with your energy situation. Breaking, over 500 gas stations in Australia have now run out of fuel as the nation's fuel crisis worsens. Of these, 187 have completely run out of diesel, while 32 service stations had run out of all types of fuel. So we've been keeping an eye on Australia on this channel for about a week plus. And their fuel situation was pretty bad. But if you go off of this latest news, this breaking news, looks like we're coming to some sort of a fuel endgame in Australia. If I was the leader of Australia, I would be on a plane right now to Washington. And I would be telling Trump, wind this thing down. And then after Washington, I'd go to Russia, to China, whatever. Just try to find alternative sources. Make a deal. Whatever sanctions you have going on, forget about them. All of that stuff is gone. We're talking about a big time emergency. And I would be meeting with Putin and telling Putin, please sell us oil. Sell us fuel, sell us whatever you got. Sell us whatever you freaking got, because we need it. So that's what Australia should be doing, but they're not going to be doing that. That's what they should be doing, but they won't be doing it. So the elections in the US, local elections, and the Republicans got smashed. Democrats flipped a total of 12 state legislative seats in special elections in 2025, 2026. And one of the seats that flipped was Florida, the Mar-a-Lago area. That went blue. So Trump's home, his hometown for the moment, Mar-a-Lago, the place he calls home, is now Democrat. That's gotta signal something, these election results. A sign of what is to come in November. And it's not gonna be pretty for the Republicans. So the Trump administration, they have they have appointed Larry Ellison, Jensen Huang, and the Zucbot to the Science and Technology Advisory Board. Yep. The Zucbot. You know, Zuckerberg, Facebook. That deplatformed Trump in the 2020 elections. That Facebook. Big tech that censored Trump. That played a big part in Trump's defeat. Yep, that big tech. That's Zuckerberg. Trump is now giving him a seat on the science board. He's going to go after big tech, right? He's going to go after big tech, and he's going to get to the bottom of what happened in the elections, the 2020 elections, and what big tech did to him, and how big tech deplatformed him, and the Hunter Biden laptop stuff, all of that stuff. He was going to get to the bottom of all of it. Nope. He's going to give the Zuckbot a seat on the science board. Promises made, promises kept. He's playing 10D chess. Keep your enemies close. Keep your friends close. Keep your enemies closer. Anyway, that's the latest there. And let's do a clown world. Melania Trump. She was escorted by a humanoid robot. That was interesting. Thank you, First Lady Melania, for inviting me to the White House. That's what the humanoid robot told Melania. Pretty soon, we'll be having the robots as presidents. We'll just be voting for a humanoid robot. Why not? It couldn't get any worse, could it? Probably. Once the AI rules over us, everything will be okay, right? And then we have Cash Patel's girlfriend, Alexis something. I forgot her last name, Wilkins or Watkins. She posted on X this 12 or 15 post thread, 15 posts on X, this huge thread, where she details this massive conspiracy that she has managed to uncover. And this conspiracy involves Putin, Russia. It involves General Flynn. It involves Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson. And of course, Vladimir Putin. Yep, this is a 13 part thread, and the threads are called chapters, because in today's world, a post on X is now considered a chapter. That's where we've come to. Yep, a chapter is a post on X. Okay. So her first, I'm not going to read you everything because it's huge. It's a huge thread. 13 chapters, according to Alexis Wilkins. A foreign-linked influence network has been running coordinated operations against the Trump administration for 22 months. I know it's real because they ran one against me. I was targeted in something I knew was far from organic. This level of media is isolating, unwanted, and unwarranted. There was nobody to help, nobody to jump in and say, this is a false op and help me. Well, I don't believe in problems without solutions. So I've spent the last few months learning to build programs to utilize publicly available information to prove that this is way bigger than me. This is about creating chaos in the Republican Party. It's about the organized effort to lose Republicans the midterms and subvert President Trump's agenda. And I have the data for you to see. And then she gets into the data. So she complains how there was no one to help her. So she had to do this all on her own. If only Alexis was dating someone very high up in the FBI. If only she was dating someone very high up in the FBI to help her unravel this operation, expose this operation. Oh, well, she had to do it all on her own. Oh, boy. Yeah. So it's Putin and Flynn and Candace and Tucker. And because RT decided to post on X various news items like what happened what happened with Joe Kent, and she ties us into this whole Catholics event that took place because Putin is now tied in with this Catholic event of the Catholic Church, even though Putin is Orthodox. But no matter, she's unraveling a huge conspiracy. It's all targeting her and the MAGA movement. So the MAGA movement is being subverted by these people. And at the top of the pyramid is Russian President Vladimir Putin and the Catholic Church. And Flynn is like the nexus when you read her thread. Like General Flynn is like at the center of all of this. It's crazy, man. It is crazy stuff. I will end the video there, the durant.locals.com. We're our next Run Rumble. We're on Telegram. Durant Shop. Pick up some merch. Check us out on Substack. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.